We'll call the meeting to order. The first item that we have up this morning is continued presentation by interested parties, mostly because I forgot to put Mr. Anderson on the list for last week. I apologize, Mr. Anderson, for the misunderstanding, but it's good to have our friends from Minnesota Retailers here. And welcome to the committee.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and congratulations on your chairmanship, and thanks to you and all the members of the committee for your indulgence on my testimony today. My name is Buzz Anderson. I'm here today as president of the Minnesota Retailers Association. Mr. Chair, there's an old saying that if you're not at the table, you just might be on the menu. So I must tell you that I'm very thrilled to be at the table, and I'd rather be at the table than on the menu. So I cannot thank you enough for the opportunity to be here. The membership of the Minnesota Retailers Association is comprised of over 350 retailers who collectively have more than 2,500 store locations around Minnesota, and I'm saying all over the state. Well, who are we exactly? You've heard of some of us, but not others. For example, you've heard of Macy's, but you may not have heard of Norby's Department Store in Detroit Lakes. You've heard of Walgreens, but you may not have heard of the Corner Drug in St. Paul unless you shop there. You've heard of Slumberland, but you probably haven't heard of Drury's Furniture in Fountain, Minnesota. You've heard of Patina in Minneapolis, but you probably haven't heard of the Oofty Shop in Red Wing, unless it happens to be a favorite of yours. You've heard of Best Buy, but you probably haven't heard of Carl's TV Appliance in Worthington. I'm not going to go through all the members, by the way. But
we were kind of wondering.
And you've heard of Bachman's, but you probably haven't heard of Lent's Flowers in St. Louis Park. So my point is we have a mix of big and small, and it's my job as executive to try to serve all those members. Now, we think of ourselves as retailers as the closest link between community and commerce. Retailers are the largest private collector of the state sales tax. Not sure if you're aware of that, but in many states, there's a vendor collection allowance provided to retailers to, you know, for the administrative cost of collecting the sales tax. In fact, you might be surprised to know that when retailers collect the local option sales tax in all the different communities of Minnesota, and they give it to revenue, when revenue gives it back to the local city, they charge an administrative fee. So we think it would only be fair. Retailers are also one of the largest employer segments, if not the largest employer segment, for full and part-time employees. Retailers are also very large contributors to, in all communities, to churches, schools, and civic groups. And, you know, all you need to do is ask your colleague, Representative Simpson, who dips into his coffers often for all those organizations in his community. And I know that he's glad to do it, but retailers do this on a statewide scale, and they do it locally for different groups, too. Retailers are the place that you go if you want to buy pharmaceuticals, clothing, electronics, hardware, groceries, spray paint, cold medicine, you name it. These owners and these investors put a lot of money into inventory and structure so you can have a good shopping experience and so that you have a lot of choices and shapes and colors at very competitive costs. Now, I might add, I've talked to Representative Simpson recently, and I was surprised to find out he has over 20,000 different products in the store. When he gets done with his expansion, he's going to have even more. But that takes a lot out of a person's pocket to stock your store with inventory. But retailers, big and small, do that wherever you go. Now, what are we looking to do this year so that we might need your help? I want to talk about just a couple of things, and Mr. Chair, I'll be short. Retailers need assistance with an ever-growing problem of organized retail theft. You may have already heard that organized retail theft is already branching out into terrorist groups. And it comes in many, many sizes and shapes, but it costs retailers literally millions of dollars every year. Retailers are also facing the inability to supply health insurance to their employees because it has become very cost prohibitive in many cases. Retailers are facing a growing problem with property taxes, which also includes a lot of cities which would like to include things like a transportation utility fee to charge the store based on the number of customers that come to that store. Retailers would like to get an exemption for energy-efficient products that we sell in our stores. We used to have an exemption for Minnesota for energy-efficient light bulbs and water heaters and that kind of thing. That sunsetted a couple years ago, and because of the budget crisis, we didn't renew that. Now, I don't know what the cost to do that is. I'll ask revenue to look at that. But even if we just instituted a couple times a year a sales tax holiday for energy-efficient products, we can encourage customers to buy more energy-efficient water heaters and appliances and light bulbs and all that sort of thing, because they are considerably higher in cost, and eliminating the sales tax would make it much more competitive. We'd also like, retailers would also like the assistance of the judiciary to make it easier to prosecute bad checks. You know, some of you came to our assistance at the closing hours of the session last session when the banks were trying to raise the threshold on what is a bad check. And typically what happens is when you raise the threshold on a bad check, bad guys and gals write whatever the new threshold is. They learn real quickly. Retailers want to be able to supply their customers with timely returns, so if they don't have a receipt. So we need tools like the ability to scan driver's licenses so we can check to make sure they're not part of an organized theft ring or they're not a return abuser. This information we keep very confidentially, but to take away that tool means we'll have less options to give people returns when they lose their receipts. You might be interested to know that the Gap actually decided to make very sophisticated receipts with very colorful rainbow paper, and before they got in their cash registers, it had already been counterfeited by theft rings, and they were already doing counterfeit receipts. So retailers are also trying to keep with the fast pace of technology, and we're trying to help our members, like Lynn's Flower, be able to use Lynn's Flower in St. Louis Park instead of going to FTD, because you'll pay an extra $15 for flowers, and your customer's going to get less, your Minnesota dealer's going to get less, and the bottom line is that we'd rather have you shopping in Minnesota than paying your money to some online seller in New York. The very last thing I'll mention is we'd like some help for our motorsports dealers who have a real disadvantage in dealing with manufacturers. Representative Lilly has already stepped to the plate to help us get that done. So those are a few things I just wanted to mention. Again, thank you for your time before the committee. For the newer members of the committee, you may not know that I'm an old guy, and you can tell that, but I served with the legislature with Representative Knudstad. So I've had the same experience, and I know how it is to come into this process and be overwhelmed by everything that you gets thrown at you. So please feel free to call me if you have any questions relating to retail issues. I'd love to come to your office and sit down with you. And, Mr. Chair, I'll stop and see if anybody has any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Are there questions or concerns? Seeing none, thank you very much. We appreciate you taking the time to visit with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Next up is House File 211. Representative Zellers, I believe the bill's been, I know it's been requested by Public Safety and Civil Justice, so I assume you will move the bill and recommend that it be re-referred to the Committee on Public Safety and Civil Justice. That would be a good spot for you. Wherever you feel most comfortable, though.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, and there is a DE-3 amendment. Apologize, we've morphed the bill a couple of times since introduction, so I would, Mr. Chairman, move the DE-3 amendment to get the bill in the order the author would prefer before we begin.
Okay. We have a motion. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. It's incorporated. Representative Zellers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. Bill you have before you today is a what I would call a consumer advocacy protection and private information protection bill. If any of you have refinanced your home in the last, say, maybe 4, 5, 6 years, maybe even the last couple of years, you've probably gotten in the mail a letter. We've done some changes here at the legislature with how the letter appears, whether or not it comes in a check form, whether it comes in includes an account number on there, reference to your original mortgage company, bank, whatever. But what has happened, a number of constituents, and I will tell you, one of the constituents who was most adamant about the letters they received in the mail was one Kim Zellers from 9433 Minnesota Lane, who just so happens to be my lovely wife. Got a letter in the mail, and in the mortgage, or in the letter, included down to one, within one payment of my mortgage. The remaining value on that included an account number, referencing not our account number, but it had a fake account number in there. Again, that's one of the parts that we've changed already in statute. But had down all of the information about our mortgage, our address, you know, everything you'd want to know, with the exception of our two kids' names. And the first question came to mind was, how can they do this? How can they have all this detailed information? And not knowing the specifics, I went and checked it out. Sure enough, this is all on the county rolls, everything down to your, you know, last payment for anyone to grab. So in looking at some of the options, and I'll explain the amendment too. So that's the genesis, not necessarily from my wife, but from a number of constituents who have had this come to them, had this happen. In some cases, I will add too that there is a home equity line included in there, taking what your mortgage value was, then figured in how much your property value would be at, you know, current rates. Somebody sold a house next to you, they know what it went for. And including a line of credit in there as well for $50,000, $100,000 that if you just sign here, you'll automatically get in there. It also then would, in some cases, steal a loan away from what your current bank, your current lender, whomever you finance your home with, by just one signature. So that's the amendment in looking at the original bill, the Section 23 that we deleted, or actually moved up into the first subdivision, in talking with staff, nonpartisan, we didn't want to interrupt the title and appraisal process. So the consumer, when you're going to your closing, we've all been there, or I'm assuming most of us have been there, where you sit for hours and hours and sign your name over and over and over again. We didn't want to interfere with the relationship between the lender, the appraiser, and the title company. In Section 23 would have done that, would have kept the title company, who was actually finishing a loan for the bank, from communicating. So we didn't want to do that. We didn't want to add on to the hour or 2 hours you spend signing, waiting for someone to go back and forth between an appraiser and a title company. So we moved it up into the top section. And basically, what we're trying to do, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee, is to keep from your information, your private information about your bank, anything that could be used for fraud purposes, for identity theft, anything of that nature, being sold and distributed en masse by third-party companies. Not necessarily your bank selling your information, because in a lot of these cases, it is not in Wells Fargo's interest for me to get solicited by 5 or 10 different mortgage companies to take my loan away from Wells Fargo. They kind of like to keep my mortgage, so I'm more than happy to keep it with them, but it's third-party entities that are collecting this data and reselling it for profit any number of different ways, number of different times as well. And that I'll stop there, Mr. Chairman, knowing that I stand before everybody here getting out before rush hour, in the middle of rush hour, or after rush hour.
Thank you, Representative Zelli. Are there questions? Representative Dabby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Zellers, one of the issues tied to this is the transfer of data by the bank or the broker, or whoever it may be, is in possession of it, to affiliates. So Wells Fargo has the loan, and then they transfer it a couple of degrees of separation away to an affiliate of theirs, and I'm getting junk mail at a minimum, or things that may put my identity at risk from an affiliate of my lender. Does your legislation cover affiliates as well as third parties?
Representative Zellers.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dabney, if it's a company with the mortgage is established, no. Because there's already an established relationship. If you see line 1-7 of the DE3 amendment, it says a party holding an existing mortgage loan. So if it's somebody who's with, so if it's a mortgage company who already owns that, if it's an affiliate company of theirs or a subsidiary company, that's included under their prior relationship, I guess you'd say.
Representative Dabney, anything further?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anyone else? Representative Zellers, are these the ones that I get in the mail that are payable Joe Atkins $150,000?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, they are.
I should stop cashing those, Representative Zellers? I've only done it 4 times.
You can cash them. I just wouldn't spend the money, Mr. Chairman.
Uh-oh. Then we really got a problem, Representative Zellers. Is there anyone else that desires to be heard with respect to this? Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Zellers. Does this affect... Wells Fargo has affiliates across the nation. Now, is this Wells Fargo, Minnesota, or is this Wells Fargo, San Francisco? I mean, they could be sold out of California. Would this bill cover that?
Representative Zeller?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, again, those are, they've already got a pre-existing, and what we're talking about is third party, so that's not, an affiliate isn't necessary, and I'm not going to get into the law, and I'll refer to Mr. Pender when it comes to affiliated and third party differentiations, but in concept, it's not going to be in Wells Fargo's interest to sell my information to Chet's House of Mortgages so that my mortgage can be stolen out from underneath them.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mahoney.
And I don't want to belabor the point, Mike, but I'm trying to understand. Wells Fargo has your records. They're all stored in one central location. California is their corporate headquarters, or maybe Delaware, who knows. Does the California branch of Wells Fargo sell it to Chet's Mortgage in Nevada, and they send the letter out of Missouri or Kansas City or wherever? Does your bill do anything with that? Because that, I suspect business will try to do something like that, and I agree with what you're trying to do. I'm going to put pass this along, and I want to get out of here before rush hour, but that's just a question I have.
Representative Zell.
Chair Atkins, Representative Mahoney, and you also don't want me to go home to my wife and have her say, you didn't pass my bill, right? I would defer to Mr. Pender on interstate commerce laws as far as affiliate versus subsidiary company, because that's well beyond my scope of knowledge, let alone legal background.
Mr. Pender?
Mr. Chair and members, to me, I think the term third party isn't clear on whether it's an affiliate or not. I mean, it is, if you have two, let's say you have a parent corporation and a corporation owned by it, you know, there's sort of something in between. I mean, they are separate corporate entities, so you could say that subsidiary is a third party in relationship to the parent corporation and the consumer, but on the other hand, they have a connection. They're not totally separate. So, I think I have to say that the term third party there is not clear one way or another on that issue.
And on that high note, so Mr. Pender, you've heard the discussion. You've heard the intent. With the understanding that you don't have the brightest chair,
do you have
potentially language that might accomplish the goal of the intent of the author?
Mr. Chair, I guess I'd recommend adding a sentence at the end saying, for purposes of this subdivision, comma, third party, either includes or doesn't include an affiliate of the consumer reporting agency or other business entity, depending on which way Representative Zellers wants to go on it.
And Representative Zellers, is that the direction that you desire to go?
That would be fine. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Mr. Pender, would you repeat that language once more?
For purposes of this subdivision, comma, quote, third party, close quote, and I'm not sure which way Representative Zellers wants to do this. Do you want this to prohibit communication between the affiliates, between the related companies, or not?
No, Mr. Chair, no, I do not.
Okay, so then we'd say that third party does not include an affiliate of the consumer reporting agency or other business entity, period.
Thank you, Mr. Pender. Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Pender, I'm wondering if we're getting off track here, because the discussion, and Representative Zellers, help me with this, the discussion we're having is Wells Fargo, what does Wells Fargo do with the data that they collect from my mortgage application, and yet you're trying to regulate Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. who, I don't know, they might have third-party affiliates, but the issue that you're coming at here is more about Wells Fargo, Chet's Mortgage, R Us, whatever, taking my my private data and moving it along to others who are then trying to sell me things based on having my private data. And I wonder if we haven't confused this situation, or if I'm the only one confused in the room, and maybe Mr. Pender wants to tackle that one, or maybe he doesn't.
Thank you, Representative Dabney. Mr. Pender.
Mr. Chair and Representative Dabney, the language at the beginning of the new language here, or this section in the subdivision in the DE3 amendments, is a consumer reporting agency or any other business entity. So that would include Wells Fargo as an other business entity, and Representative Zeller's amendment then would say that an affiliate of theirs is not a third party for purposes of this subdivision, so that the communication between Wells Fargo and its affiliates would not be affected by this legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Pender. Representative Dabney, anything further?
Representative, that clarified. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Pender.
Thank you, Representative Dabney. Representative Dominguez, did you have a question, sir?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Chair. As I was reading through this, you know, I've been getting some information in the past, Spanish language, on information, consumer information on your identification and so on. You know, those cards you get in the mail, you've got, like you mentioned, there's no language in here as far as receiving that type of mail, but it does in English. Have you seen that? Is there anything in here that possibly could address that issue to the fact that I personally have gotten in Spanish, you know, you want to buy this home, or here's a check, you know, whatever.
Sure.
And it's just in Spanish. But it says the same thing in English. How or what could be done in this bill?
And actually, if I might, before you respond, Representative Zellers, with respect to the additional language that Mr. Pender suggested, and I want to get a question or an answer to that question. But to the point of the proposed amendment, Representative Zellers, do you wish to move that amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
That oral amendment?
Yes.
Is there any further discussion with respect to that? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. It's now amended. Representative Zellers, if you'd be so kind as to address Representative Dominguez's question.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Dominguez. In the agency or the business entity, the information is going to be transferred. How they send it out is also, and I'm not going to be the expert on this, but that's then, however they're sending that information out, if they don't have the information, if they're not allowed to send the information out, then they can't send it out in no matter which language it is. But as far as being multilingual, I have no objection to that. I've not seen that side of it. I've not excluded it by any means, but I've also not included it here. Again, the drive of the amendment or the bill is to make sure that someone's not sending out your mortgage information and getting your mom, sister, grandmother, whomever, to sign up for something that they shouldn't be changing over to.
Mr. Chair, I only bring it up because it has happened, and it sounds like this is what the bill wants to do. I just brought it up because, again, it came out in Spanish, and whoever's doing it, I don't know what can be done, but... I just bring it up as a light bulb.
Thank you, Representative Dominguez. Any other questions or concerns with respect to the bill? Seeing none, once more quick from the top. We're working off the delete all, the DE3 amendment that has been amended as follows, with an additional sentence at the end that says, for purposes of this subdivision's, quote, for purposes of this subdivision, comma, quote, third party, end quote, does not include an affiliate of the consumer reporting agency or other business entity. Unless there are additional questions or concerns, Representative Zellers renews his, I'm sorry, Representative Paulson.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I thought that the motion you said was to refer the bill to public safety. Maybe I missed that at the beginning. I was just curious why it would go to public safety.
Uh, be, Representative Paulson, because it's been requested by the Chair of Public Safety and Civil Justice.
It's Civil Justice, and mortgages all go there according to your staff person, first of all.
Representative Mullery. Not that you need to be identified. We all know who we are. But I believe within the subject is mortgages under Civil Justice. Are there any other questions or concerns? Seeing none, Representative Zellers renews his motion that House File 211 be recommended to pass as amended and re-referred to the Committee on Public Safety and Civil Justice. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Seeing none, motion carries. Congratulations, Representative Zellers. Enjoy your visit with Public Safety and Civil Justice. That concludes our agenda. There is no, you've all been so good the last few weeks, we do not have a meeting of this committee on Thursday afternoon, so we know you'll be able to make it home before rush hour. For planning purposes, we will be getting back here on some bills next Tuesday. Also, we'll get an email out to you, and you can mark your calendars, folks. We're going to the mall on February 8th. We're going to hang out at the Mall of America and talk about their impact on tourism and on jobs. We also potentially take up a bill or two when we're there. But again, you'll be getting further information with respect to that. It's going to be fun stuff. That concludes our agenda. Thank you all for coming. Have a good afternoon and get home before rush hour.